Stephanie, thank you for that, everybody. And thank you, Terry and Sarah, again, for doing the work of the towers of these elections. A miracle. We're here almost 1 o'clock, and we've got a clear slate. Stephanie Wells, we'd like to resume with you. I'm wondering, can we slip in the director's reports so that then we can have a whole open session on, for the public, which I'm willing to stay as, until the game time kickoff tomorrow at 7 p.m. So Myla, you're raising your hand. You're muted, Myla.
I'm sorry. I'd like to make a motion that we extend time for this part of the agenda to until all directors have had an opportunity, or all delegates have had an opportunity, or all station board members have had an opportunity to have a conversation with Stephanie.
Okay. Is there a second to extend time? Do we need to do this?
No opposition.
Is there opposition to extending time? Let's just leave this open. Stephanie, if you don't mind, if we can put in our director's reports, then the people, starting with Ruth Strauss, who've raised their hands for public comment, we can just go straight on, and I'll stay as long as people want to comment. Okay. So, Stephanie, if you're with us, please, if we can go ahead and do our director's reports, that would be wonderful. And then our treasurer and, IGM reports.
Yeah, and then that's perfectly fine.
Everybody be, Stephanie, you good with that?
Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
Okay. Thank you so much. Let's do the director's reports. That would be Jan, Avelia, Myla, and then we'll do the treasurer and the IGM reports. And then we can go back to Stephanie, and we can all kick back and wait till game time tomorrow. So go ahead, Jan, Avelia, Myla.
You know, we also have reports from our general manager and
yes, our IGM and our treasurer. Yes.
Okay.
Jan, Avelia, Myla, do you want to give us director's reports, please?
Okay. I can start. I sent out a joint director's report from myself, Myla, and Avelia, and everyone should have it in their email at this point. I want to address this issue about that I see a lot of discussion about in the chat as to why people couldn't self-nominate. And I'll just read the section of the bylaws that says that. And it says, any current delegate of any class of members may nominate any other current delegate of any class serving the same radio station and so forth. And so the wording is absolutely clear that people cannot self-nominate. And the last part of it says is that the nominations shall be given in writing to the recording secretary by December 31st prior to the election of directors in January. And because the language was so clear, there were some people who were saying, oh, we should ignore that, and that it really means that you can nominate yourself, but the resolution was passed that the words mean what they mean. But there was another comment about how did Myla approach this, and Myla said she agreed that the words mean what they mean, and that, you know, she and Adriana Kazanev, who was another person who was affected in the same way as Myla, could just run as write-in candidates. This is something that none of us knew about. Some people obviously knew about it, but I never heard of it. But this was one of the things that the PNB passed this motion. Another very
important. I wonder if the member has a motion or a point to make.
This is the director's report. So
okay, very quickly, please. Go ahead.
And the other point that I want to report on is that the PNB has passed a motion, the essence of which is to develop a well-managed underwriting program consistent with the Pacifica Foundation's community radio standards. And this is a very big departure from past practice. However, two stations are already doing it. Stephanie went into this, but I just want to bring this forward, and at some point we might want to discuss it, but this is an important part of what has been happening on the national board. And now I'll defer to the other.
Jan, thank you very much for that. You're very clear and we appreciate it. Myla and Avelia, do you have director reports?
I do.
Go ahead, Avelia.
All right. Thank you. Another issue in the discussion that day at the PNB is the issue of the 2-year versus 3-year term of service of our delegates. Several interpretations of the bylaws concerning this matter had to be discussed. A motion made in 2023 shortened the delegates' term from 3 to 2 years. This happened largely because of the Ziri Rideau lawsuit. It was a violation of the bylaws and would result in holding 3 elections in 3 years. The year 2023, we did it, but in 2024 as well and 2025. It was also noted at that time that 2022 had no election and the election cycle was disrupted. A reset of the 3-year election cycle was consequently motioned. The current election committee will meet soon. No date was available at the time of the writing to maybe resolve this issue. The urgency is also based on Pacifica's many financial stresses, whereupon another election in 2024 is deemed unfeasible. In other words, will cost big money. Thank you.
Thank you, Avelia, for both your clarity and your brevity. Myla, do you wish to report from the PNB?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that as things stand now, everybody who was elected at the different local station boards in this past election will be serving a truncated 2-year term as opposed to a 3-year term. But that's not written in stone. It was a decision that was made by the board prior to me going onto the board. I think it was an improper decision that will be, that is fiscally irresponsible. And I think that, the PNB will be taking this issue up in the coming months. And it will be, in my position to restore, the 3-year term rather than to stick with this 2-year term, which would create an extra expense for Pacifica and a costly election that is unneeded. And I believe it's also a violation of the bylaws. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Okay. Thank you, the three of you, for your reports. Michael, IGM, and then Kim, treasurer, and then we go back to Stephanie. And we'll have unlimited
Excuse
time.
Excuse me, this is, I'm listed on the agenda.
Did I miss something?
Yes, this is Beth. This is Beth. You've listed me on the
agenda. All right, go ahead, Beth. You're a director. Go ahead. Hello?
I was unmuted until someone muted me just now.
You're unmuted. Unmuted now. Will you give us a report, please, as a director of the PNB?
Beth, I apologize. Your name was not there. I didn't realize it was you. I thought you were, and I will.
Okay, go ahead.
No, thank you. Sorry.
Thank you, Beth. Do you wish to make a report from the PNB?
Yes, I provided a written report in advance of this meeting. I'll post it to the list and publicly as time allows. Beyond that, in this inadequate 1 minute for director's reports. I want to set the record straight on what has previously been reported on the PNB decision about how to handle elections. The PNB reasserted recommitted to the 3-year term and voted to stay with that schedule, as is compliant with the bylaws and as has been historic for Pacifica. That 3-year term began at the beginning of this last year. We retained people in their positions at that time because there was no money to have elections. We retained them in those positions until they could be replaced by duly elected replacements, as is the best guidance we could find from the bylaws. And so we are now 1 year into that 3-year term, and the newly elected delegates will complete the remaining 2 years of that term. That's the decision as was passed by the PNB. There's nothing to prevent the current PNB or the 2024 PNB from revisiting that, but unless and until they can agree on something that works better, that's the decision that will stand. We did that because to do anything else would allow a cascade of chaos down through any number of future elections, as all the past elected people would be out of sync with a newly imposed schedule.
Okay. Thank you.
I wonder the propriety of continuing to go into an issue that's already been decided that ordinarily would not be proper.
That's okay. We thank you for that, Dennis. Thank you, Beth, for your report. Very clear, both written and oral. And thank you for your service on the PNB and on the local station board. We really appreciate it. Michael Novick, and then Kim. If we can do brief reports, then we can get back to Stephanie, IGM Michael Novick, and then Treasurer Kim Coffin. Michael, go ahead, please, and then Kim.
Yes, I did submit a written report to the LSB, and I've also posted it to the station's website for anybody else who wants to see it. It's under the blogs from the general manager on the website. I'll look for the URL and put it in the chat later. In terms of physical plant, the cleanup and move out and build process is well underway in terms of the fact that the building has been sold as an escrow. And we've had a series of national Zoom calls that I set up with national technical people and local people and a number of volunteers that with technical capacity engineers that have been working with us. Mo Thomas, the former interim general manager here and the chief engineer nationally for Pacifica, will be coming out the week of January 15th, bringing with him most of the tech needed to build a duplicate master control broadcast studio and probably at least a small recording studio in a facility that I believe Stephanie is arranging a rental of or has arranged. And that new facility will have a line of sight with a transmission link to the transmitter on Mount Wilson. As she said, there's some money available for that. Mo Thomas, Stuart Landau, our chief engineer, Bert Wiener, and other engineers, Tom Voorhees, and technical people involved are very confident that the work we need can be done timely so that programmers and staff will have a chance to familiarize themselves with the new equipment and the new location, and we can switch seamlessly over from our current operations. Also based on the experience at Houston and Washington, WPFW and KPFT have both moved in the last period of time successfully into new structures. I think PFW has to move again and is doing so. In terms of finances, as Stephanie said, KPFK is one of the stations that has not been making central services. And I want to emphasize to everybody that that means that KPFK, and this goes back for almost a decade at this point, has not been covering the full cost of its operations. When people say central services, they think it's like some kind of gift to the foundation. No, it covers the insurance, which has lapsed. It covers the audit, which has not been done. It covers the accounting services that we need in many other parts of the expense of the station that are carried nationally but paid for by so-called central services payments. And going back to when Anil Fields was the interim general manager, KFK has not made those payments. And that's a big cause of the problems financially. In the last fund drive in December, we raised close to $80,000. It was a short drive because of the holidays. We held the first round of a rummage sale at the station, raised at this point $9,500. I think it's still climbing. We're going to do a second round. We'll do a second round on January 27th. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. If you can finish up, that's great.
We have two additional fundraisers planned in the near future, January 20th, which is a couple of weeks off. Frank Doral has been putting together a program for the station with a number of different peace activists, and it's been growing. That's at Culver Palms United Methodist Church, January 20th at 1 p.m. And February 3rd, we're hosting Dr. Gerald Horn, the noted historian, is coming to town. He's going to be doing an author talk as a benefit for the station. In Limerick Park, at the Black Power Center, also known as Africatown, that area. Both of those will have very minimal costs for the station. The Frank Doral put forward the funds necessary for the January 20th, and the venue is free for the one on February 3rd, and we've had donations to cover the cost of some of Dr. Horn's books for sale. So most of that will be clear proceeds for the station. The next on-air drive will probably begin Tuesday, February 6th and run through March 1st. I will be on the air on January, I believe it's the 13th, I forget, whatever the second Tuesday in January is, with another report to the list. I've been doing those monthly. Last month I did one in English and one in Spanish, and we'll do it in Spanish again this month as well. Under the PNB motion that was adopted for underwriting, we have been developing a local campaign. I want to thank Andrew Weiss in particular, but other people, Kyle Martin, Stuart Landa has been involved, a number of others. We do have a contract drawn up. There's a brief explanation on the website and an intake form, and we will begin soliciting such underwriting. It's not advertising. It's falls within the authorization from the FCC, and as Stephanie said, the very, very strict guidelines from the PNB. Underwriters will have no say in programming, and it'll be a very brief announcement, basically expressing the fact that these groups both local small businesses, community organizations, other nonprofits have supported the station, and we appreciate that support. And that will also be included in the package would be announcements in the dispatch and on the website, similar to the ones we have been running for some of the cultural venues that Maggie LaPeak has arranged for. And you hear announcements like that now. Support comes from UCLA Center for Performing Arts. That's because they do donate money to the station in return for those type of announcements. Okay. Last thing I would say is that in terms of fundraising, about 10 to 12% of the revenue during our recent on-air drives is coming from new members, and a somewhat larger percentage from lapsed donors, and that's very encouraging because overall the information I've gotten is that there's about an 11% decline in revenue from new members for public radio in general, and a general significant downward trend in listeners to public radio. So we're swimming against the current on that. We have been doing more social media promotion. We want to increase that. We hope that one of the things that comes out of the moves will be the capacity to have digital audio and video so that we can get on a lot of more platforms with video clips, reels, TikTok, Instagram, and other places where we can attract people. There were a few minor changes in the programming, mostly because of difficulties that some current programmers have for health reasons and other reasons, but mainly staying the same. We are trying to, in the near future, create a schedule for DJ tryout slots and hopefully a KPFK showcase for miniseries and specials to try to gauge the appeal of different music genres and different public affairs programs we don't currently have to our listeners. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael, for your report. And thank you also on a personal note for restoring California Solartopia to our 5 o'clock Wednesday slot with me and Myra and Sakura Forrest. We really appreciate that. The last, is, Kim Coffin with a treasurer's report. And then we will return to the ED, Stephanie Wells, who's been waiting patiently by. Kim, Treasurer's report, please. Kim Kaufman, are you unmuted?
Yeah, hold on. Here I come.
You're here.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Well, unfortunately, I thought my internet would work where I am, but it didn't. So I don't have my report to read. If somebody wants to read it, it's basically the first two paragraphs without all the numbers. But basically what I'm saying is, our revenue, the listener support, I believe it was like $250,000 less than the previous year. And our expenses have been cut by about $400,000, but we're still running at a deficit. And as other people, as, you know, Michael and Stephanie have both said, we're not paying central services. So, we're not meeting the challenges that we have been given with a radio license to engage a public who want to listen and support us. And that's the kind of overriding issue that we all need to take a look at going forward. You know, I put some numbers in there of the fund drives. I don't want to, you know, you can look at it, but that needs to really be addressed in the coming year. I'll take questions. There's not much more to say.
Can we fold in your questions in the general period following the presentation of Stephanie Wells, who's been waiting patiently by? Can we do that, please?
I don't care. I mean, it's up to the board. I don't care.
Okay.
You know,
well, let's move ahead. Stephanie, concludes the regular stuff. We're not going to adjourn the meeting. We are going to continue now, resume with Stephanie Wells. Michael and Kim, your reports certainly segue well in with Stephanie. Stephanie, are you still with us?
I'm sorry. If I could just say, I will stay on. I believe you do have public comment. I'll be happy to take calls.
Yes, we will.
Later on. Thank you.
So what we're going to proceed now. This is my last hurrah as chair. Again, I thank you very much for your patience and forbearance in my having been your chair for the last 9 months or so. It's been a real honor and a pleasure. And now I'm very pleased to reintroduce Stephanie Wells. Stephanie, are you with us? Let me get you unmuted, I hope.
Yes, I am. I'm here.
All right. Very good. So that concludes our regular agenda. We will reconvene on February 4th what time did we vote on? 10:30? I believe we voted on 10:30 a.m. Is that correct?
Harvey, our regular agenda includes 30 minutes of public comment.
Yes. So the business is done. But anyway, Stephanie, the floor is yours. Then we have public comment, and I will stay with the public comment. We'll have 90 seconds and then a second comment for anyone who wants a second comment at 60 seconds. And in the meanwhile, Stephanie, you have the floor for as long as you want. Thank you for your cogent and very clear presentation, and let's continue.
I'm happy to go ahead and just jump right into questions if people want.
Is there anything further you wanted to present to us before we?
No, I pretty much covered everything.
All right. You're good to go. I know that Ruth Strauss had her hand up. Ruth, are you still with us? Anyone who wants to comment now as part of the public comment, and I will take comments from board members as well. We'll just be free and easy about this. Lila?
I have a question for Stephanie about the underwriting, and specifically I am wondering whether there will be a set of guidelines finalized that will be available for anyone and everyone who's interested to check out on the Pacifica.org website and also for all of the stations, and whether there'll be uniform guidelines for and I am talking about underwriting, and whether we can see a simple, clear set of guidelines that will be a standard for all of the Pacifica stations.
Yes, the motion covers a lot of the guidelines that would be set across the network. Any sort of underwriting ruling and what things we need to follow will be network wide. And yes, they need to be, a lot of the stations have those guidelines already up on their websites, but we need some major revamping of the Pacifica.org website in general. It's very difficult to maneuver through. So as soon as I can get someone to come in and help rebuild and revamp that website, they will definitely be up there.
Harvey, I'm here.
Okay, Ruth Strauss. It's been suggested, John Gary in the chat has said that we should go ahead and do public comment first. And then
I'm public.
Yes, I understand. So I'm going to call on all members of the public until that is exhausted, and then we'll go to Michael Bressler and Rachel, who are members of the board, okay? Because John says we should have a dedicated 30-minute segment here. So we have someone ending in 510 who had their hand up. 909.
I'm sorry. I had my hand up.
Oh, no, Ruth, you were first. You were first. Yes. Exactly right. Go ahead. Ruth, please, and then 510, and then Bella DeSoto. Go ahead.
Okay. So, Stephanie, since I have several comments that I want to make, if you have a pen and paper, if you can just jot down what I'm saying, and then you can address it so I won't use up my 90 seconds. Anyway, I was going to say, wow, we must have a sugar daddy, considering that all the things that you said you were going to set aside money for. So that's great if we do have enough to go around like that. I am completely unknowledgeable about, you know, what you can or can't say on air in terms of escrow. Are you able to say what we're going to be paid since it is in escrow, or no, that's private information until the deal is done?
I'd rather wait until everything is completed.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. So I wrote you a letter about this, but I want to say this, publicly as well. I'm glad that you're setting aside money for the new rent that we're going to have. But obviously, as I've said in my letter, not only do we need to pay the back bills, but even before Central Services, we have to fix things that are wrong with the station now. And before any money goes to anything else, including other stations' legal bills, because as I said, our product is radio, okay? So right now, our pledge site is a mess. Allegiance, will not fix that unless we pay their bill. There's also a problem with if you sign in on your phone to the website, during the day, there's a buffering problem, so the stream cuts off. There's also been several instances of a stuttering staccato kind of presentation. I have that down. So if we need money to work with the people that stream it, we need to do that. It's been said a lot that, and it was said just now from Michael, that we need to come up to speed for new media, YouTube, whatever, where if that costs money, we need to do that. I mean, we have to save the station before we save other people. Like they tell you on the airlines, put your own mask on first. And if there's any, you know, way that Michael can get some money or other pro bono people who put in a lot of time, that would be great. He's done, you know, a lot of service. We also, one other thing, we need a Nielsen rating, because as you talked about the grid, even if you only pay for a month of Nielsen for KPFK, we need to know what's getting money and what isn't. Kim Kaufman has done a good job of trying to tease that out by donation, but people who listen don't always donate, and so we need to know which programs are popular. Thank you.
That was Ruth Strauss, Stephanie. Go ahead, please, your response, and then we'll have 510, then Bella, then Margot.
Yes, one of the things that I had mentioned is that we are paying off the donor software system, which we have, which is Allegiance, so then we can be able to get what's needed to get that working. And that is, again, not only something that will benefit KPFK profoundly, but will also benefit the network as a whole. As far as buffering problems on websites and stuttering and things like that on the website, we do definitely want to fix what we can on the website. I know that there have been issues with all of our websites for a while. So, we are focusing and looking on that as well. As far as the funds, we are not spending any of the money to pay any other stations' bills. I do want to make that clear. Some of the larger bills that we're paying are on a national level and are benefiting the foundation and the national, all of the stations as a whole, but we are not specifically paying down or paying off any other stations or divisions bills. And one of the other things that, as I had mentioned too, that we wanted to pay was to be able to get those ratings that we need, whether that's the Radio Research Consortium or the Nielsen's.
Okay. Thank you for that. Ruth, you'll have another bite at the apple. If you want, I can put you, at the end of the line here. Bella for 90 seconds. Margo, then also Beth, you had a hand, so I'll put you in the key, and then we'll go back if Ruth wants to go again. Bella, 90 seconds, please.
Okay, thank
Mr.
you.
Chair.
Bella, by the way, sorry, one second, Bella. The public session opened at 4:20, ironically enough. So it was 1:20 Pacific time. So we will technically go a half hour and a minimum. Okay, go ahead, Bella, please.
Okay, thank you, Harvey. I posted several notices and motion and financial information on your chat that you should pay attention to. There's a lot of information in the chat that I urge everybody to please read. You can also save the chat on your computer so that you have it and you can check it later. I want to second a lot of what Ruth said as a KPFK concerned citizen of many years. My term does not expire until the end of this year, 2024, but apparently I have been vacated by the whim of this illegal PNB, which also founded this illegal body called KPFK-LSB. Wanted to get that out there again. I wanted to address a very important issue, and that is the secrecy, the level of secrecy that is going on to silence the membership of KPFK and not communicate the important information that needs to be shared with the member, not only KPFK, but the entire foundation, has been a major neglect, which is purposeful. It has been systematic, no outreach. We only had 80
seconds, Bella, 10 seconds.
Yeah,
please.
We only had 80% of the entire Pacifica membership participating in the most recent elections. That is unbelievable. And of course, there's analysis of that, of the many irregularities bordering on fraudulence. And I'm very dissatisfied with what's going on. And diversity must be.
Okay.
No more of this, friendly stuff.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bella. If you want to come back, we'll give you another 60 seconds, please, as part of public comment. You had almost 100, but, very appreciative. Margo Iser, I'm trying to unmute you. God, I hate this unmute
function. Mr. Chair, please. Mr. Chair.
Who's this?
Okay.
This
hello.
Is Andrew Weiss.
Oh, Andrew,
Mr.
are you
Chair,
on the
phone?
Well, wait, can I put you in the key and put you after, Beth, Andrew?
Well, as the coordinator of the underwriting at KPFK, I'd like to request to give a report, a 60-second report to the body and to the members.
Well, I'll put you, you'll follow Beth von Guten, if that's all right, please. Okay? We'll get
all right.
Okay, Margo Iser, please, and then Beth, and then Andrew. Margo?
Okay. First, I want to say I'm glad that we have finally been allowed to comment during the meeting. And then I want to thank Bella for bringing out the information she has put out, and also to Andrew. And now I want to know that today is a show that another example of how Kim Kaufman has not had a complete treasurer's report to give us at any of the meetings.
A point of order.
Let her finish. Let her finish, please.
You can't make accusations about
people. Observation is just an observation. It's not an accusation. It's just another example of how we didn't have a complete report. However, I also want to say that I want to know about from the KPFK LSB and the ED, and to please tell us, the listeners, sponsoring members, subscribers, etc., what are the actual names of the individuals or the entity or the organization which is buying and renovating our building, and let us know why this has not been revealed. I also want to find out a way to save the chat, but I do appreciate the participation of all these people, and that we need to have everybody's voice being heard and all our questions answered. And it's really amazing how we can do this via Zoom. And I want to just keep KPFK's integration with its mission and Pacifica's mission. And I tell everybody about it, even people in other parts of the country. So I really want to know the facts and the basic things and why we just should have regular factual reports.
Okay.
It's not an accusation. It's just a request for factual reports.
Okay. We're done. Thank you. I want to apologize to Mala. Mala, you're right. We don't want to have any personal attacks in these meetings. Please, if you want to refer to a treasurer's report, please refer to it as the treasurer. We've done a great job during this term. Not having personal attacks makes all the difference in the world. I realize, Margo, you weren't intending a personal attack, but it sounded like it, and Milo was right. Thank you, Milo. I apologize for interrupting there. Okay, we have Beth. Beth von Guten, you have 90 seconds.
Beth is not public.
Andrew, you're after Beth. You're right after Beth. Beth, go ahead.
She's not public.
Yes, she is public, actually. Beth is public. Go ahead.
Andrew is correct. Andrew is correct. I'm still a member of Pacifica Governance. I'm a director until new directors are seated later this month. And my hand isn't up. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, Andrew, go ahead, please. 90 seconds. All you.
Yes, Andrew? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. All right. First of all, I want to thank Executive Director Stephanie Wells. I think you're doing an excellent job for our incredible network, and I think we're very fortunate to have you leading our organization. And I'd like to thank our interim general manager, Michael Novick, as well for doing such an incredible job. I am the coordinator of the underwriting, local underwriting at our station at KPFK. I would like to let everybody know that last week we completed the process needed to get underwriting started at the station. And so we will be soliciting underwriters, local businesses and organizations, starting now, and we expect that the funding situation will be changing for the better starting immediately. We will be bringing in underwriters who will be contributing between $800 per month and $5,600 per month. The contract for the underwriters, I will forward to this body, and we can make it public. It'll probably go up on the website as well. As Michael Novick stated, there is information on the front page of the website and a link to the intake form for anyone who is interested to become an underwriter. Okay. Please refer them there. And also, I'd like to say, if I may, we have weekly meetings.
That's 90 seconds, but go ahead.
We have weekly meetings that are going to continue for the group. I'd like to extend an invitation to any officers of this body or PNB members to attend those meetings. Please contact either GM Michael Novick, or you can contact me at this email address. It's friendsofpacifica@gmail.com, friendsofpacifica@gmail.com, which is my work email, which is not affiliated with Pacifica at all. It's a separate organization. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrew. Much appreciated. Sasha and then Janine. Sasha Karlick and then Janine Roan. Trying to unmute you here, Sasha.
Can you hear me right?
Sasha, are you good? Can I hear you?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, go for it. You got 90 seconds.
Good, thanks. Actually, I I'd say, well, there's a very good job being done at keeping things kind of secret from people, including, the, you know, what's this person's executive director without a face want to keep it, keeping cloaked in darkness? You know, maybe it's a personal choice, but, you know, we're paying a salary. We're, this person is supposedly representing us. There's a lot of censorship of voices. I'd like to cede any remaining time, 30 seconds, or give another minute or so to Bella, because she's doing the yeoman's work here for so many people. And most of us can't even be contacted because there's blockage of email lists, et cetera. And, it's a very completely unfair process for any kind of opposition or any kind of dissent against this steamroller board. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sasha. Janine. And by the way, Stephanie Wells, you are still with us. If there's at any point you want to jump in and respond to anything in particular, please raise your hand or just speak out. You're the executive director, and we're happy to have you with us, and you can respond specifically at any point you like. Go ahead, Janine Roan.
Hi, thanks, Harvey. Janine Roan. I've been involved with the station governance for 5 years. I've been secretary, fundraising committee chair. I've been on the finance committee. As I said, I think your meeting in December, I was disqualified as a staff candidate on the very last day of voting for unsubstantial reasons. And I wrote to the entire PNB about it, and no one responded, including our executive director. So I just want to put that, and if I'll go ahead and put my email in the chat, jrohnkpfk@gmail.com, if anybody's interested, because to me this was a mishandling of the election. But because I've been so involved, I also wanted to say that the LSB that has been meeting all year that was unrecognized put forth a motion for the PNB and the executive director to be very precise on the breakdown of what the sale proceeds are going to go towards. We've heard election, the audits, the taxes, the donor database, the loans, the payables. There should be a very concise list, because if the building is being sold for $2 million, which is what I've heard rumored, and only these things only come to $1 million, what is going to happen to that other million? So I really want to encourage the members here, anybody who gets voted into the PNB, even though, you know, this whole election was very soured, it's very important that we ask for very precise numbers. We don't even have a balance sheet for the foundation. So it's, I think that it's for the health of the station foundation. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Has anybody from the public that wishes to speak not spoken yet? I don't see any new hands. And I'm trying to unmute you, Stephanie. I don't know if you're muted or not. I can't quite figure that out. Is somebody else a better host than me? Ah, there. It says you're unmuted. Stephanie, you're welcome to jump in at any time. Do you want to respond to anything that's been said so far?
I'm muting and unmuting myself just because I'm not in my home right now, so I don't want any sort of background noise that's there. So I can control my muting and my unmuting. The thing is, as far as a breakdown of where the funds will go from the sale of the building, we're still negotiating with various vendors and people that, you know, money is owed to. We, you know, it isn't a place at this point that we want to put that out in the public, because we don't, as I said, we're still negotiating with many of the vendors, including vendors of monies that are owed from KPFK, as to what will be paid. And we're in that, again, that negotiation process where they're being kind and, you know, trying to figure out, putting out a payment plan or paying in full or, you know, greatly reducing the amount that's owed. So these are things that have been presented to the PNB, for quite a few months now. They have seen a draft of the budget as to how those funds will be spent. And I entrust, you know, them to be working with me as to where that money will be. It will also be put in after the sale of the building in a restricted account, in an escrow account, that will have very similar to what we did with the sale of the KPFT building. So those documents on how things will be spent will be going through, you know, we'll have a paper trail that covers exactly how those expenses and the funds are being used.
Great. Thank you for that very much. Anybody new from the public? I don't see anybody new from the public. Bella, you get a second shot. Bella, Ruth, and Andrew, 60 seconds each, please.
Thank
you.
Go ahead,
Bella.
Thank you, Harvey. Thank you for your service, Harvey. I want to clarify something. Everybody talks about the sale of the building being sold. The building is not sold. The building has not been sold until escrow closes. Please be aware of that. This is the reason for the period of escrow. I put in the chat some numbers that I did not have an opportunity to cover with you. Every single month, we get a profit and loss. And I have been able to get the August P&L because it was sent to me from another unit, because not even locally we have access to our own financial documents. And I have been prevented from attending the finance committee meetings.
10 more
seconds, KPFK's monthly, if I can be allowed 10 seconds, I'll cut it off quick.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go.
Thank you. KPFK's monthly responsibility to central services is in the neighborhood of $41,739. We have not made payments for several years, but conservatively, at the end of the year, that amounts to $459,129. If I would apply that just for 3 years, that is $1,377,387. Where are these monies? Where are these funds going to? Who?
Okay, Bella, I got to be fair to everybody. Thank you very much. That was about 60 plus seconds. I'll let people come back one more time.
And why are the funds being shown as paid? Why are they being shown as paid on the P&L? That is a major question.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bella. We'll go to Ruth.
They're not being shown as paid. It's accrual counting. And if you look at those expenses, there's parentheses around them. They have not been paid, but it's accrual expenses.
That is what a profit and loss is for.
Okay, Bella, let's not have a back and forth. I'll give you one more shot. If we go around, we'll have time, I believe. Ruth Strauss and then Andrew Weiss. Ruth, this is your second time.
Okay, thank you, Harvey, for being so generous. Stephanie, when there was that aborted sale back when we were going to get, I forget, 400,000 or something like that, and I'm glad we're getting a lot more. But you did put out a truncated spreadsheet that was very helpful. So I agree that once whatever constraints you have are gone, we're the members. We're the ones who make the money for the station to operate. We haven't got a CPB grant, and Andrew's, underwriting hasn't come through yet. So we are the ones that are supporting the station. Ergo, as soon as it is able to be sent out, we need to know where the money from our building, from our station that we support, where that's going. You don't have to answer anything. That's just a statement. And it was done before when you projected what would happen. The other thing is, Harvey, I don't know what rules there are, but I'm not sure why mere mortals like ourselves who aren't on the board can't save the chat. I haven't been able to, and there are others who haven't been able to. Is there some reason? Because there are things in it that are useful. So if you could address that. Thanks.
As someone who's 78 years old and has no idea how to run his iPhone, I can't tell you. Myla,
I can tell you. Can I tell you?
No, Myla. Let Myla speak to it because she's running it. Thank you, Myla. You'll get another chance, Bella.
My first suggestion is find a 14-year-old to help you.
I don't know how to do it.
Well, I have
just
to
give Ruth to spare with me, please. I was just trying to lighten things up here. At the bottom of the chat screen are three dots. Excuse me. I am speaking. I don't need help.
Okay, go ahead.
Please stay muted. Thank you. Okay. If you look at the bottom of the chat, Laura's right. There are three. Excuse me. Would everyone please stay muted? We don't need a lot of different people.
Okay, go ahead. That is not
for you. Yes, wait. This is my time. Now, Ruth, you will have more time. I would appreciate if I can just continue without interruption. Okay. So if you open up the chat and you look at the bottom, you'll see three dots. And if you select those three dots, it will say save chat. If you are unable to save the chat, you can email me at myla.reason@gmail.com. I will put that in the chat. You can request a copy of the chat and I will send it to you.
Thank you. Fantastic. Let's see. Who from the public? Stephanie, did you want to jump in here?
Oh, Ruth was saying that her time.
I'm just going to say that I attend a million Zooms like you do. I know about the three dots. Whenever I've done that, especially like for Harvey's voting thing or whatever, it immediately puts it in a folder that I can see on my desktop. I cannot see that, and there was something that I read somewhere, I don't remember where, about this particular meeting of the PNB that the chat wasn't going to be able to be saved by people who weren't on the PNB. So thank you for your offer. I will take you up on it. Thank you.
Okay,
and
great.
Harvey, just one thing. Let me say this, there is no such feature on this particular Zoom. Most people have not had difficulty saving the chat, but you can send me an email if you would like a copy of it.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you. Is there anyone else from the public now who has not spoken? Who's Steve? Steve, are you new? Have you not spoken? Steve? There. Steve, did you wish to speak? Hello? All right, I don't see what's going on with Steve here. You got your hand, you're unmuted. What do you got to say? No? Stephanie, did you want to respond to anything that was said? I guess you can unmute yourself, so go ahead.
The, you know, list of expenses, we will definitely share that with people, and because we have, you know, we'll keep, a very close record as to how the funds are being spent from the sale of the building. So that will become available when those funds are starting to be used.
Okay. Thank you for that. Margo, do you have your hand up a second time? If so, you'll get 60.
Harvey, I was next in line. Harvey, this is Andrew Weiss.
Okay, you've spoken twice, yeah? But go ahead, 60 seconds.
No, I've spoken once.
Please,
I was
please
once.
Be... Please be good on the 60 seconds.
This is Margo. I just wanted Myla to repeat her address. Thank you. Now go ahead, Andrew. Sorry.
Okay. Myla, it's...
Or put it
Myla
in the chat.
Okay. Go ahead. Myla, you're putting it in the chat. Your email is...
It is in the chat. Reason is spelled like the word, but without the A. So it's myla.reason, R-E-S as in Sam, O-N as in Nelson, @gmail.com.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Is anybody new, Steve? The mythical Steve here. I don't see you. Michael Novick. Well, you're ex officio, so I'm going to have to ask you to wait, please, until the public is over. Anybody absolutely new on the? Okay, we have two people from the public. You're going to get a third try. Oh, Andrew, you just spoke. Right? Or did you? Andrew, did you just speak?
No, I did not speak.
Okay,
I did not speak. I've been waiting.
60 seconds.
Yes.
Go ahead.
All right, Harvey. Well, I was going to thank you, but I'll still do that. Thank you for your service as chair and for running very well-run meetings. I'd like to ask Stephanie if the required report to the listener network-wide, which is required twice a year, can we expect to have that done at some time? And I know you're not able to require that from general managers. We need the PNB to require that, but can you give us any information about that? I'd like to request future PNB members to require the communications directive be implemented where the executive director does a report to the Listen Nation network-wide twice a year, and all general managers do monthly reports to the listeners. All LSBs do reports to the listeners once every 2 months minimum. And lastly, the underwriting is a group effort. I want to acknowledge Chief Engineer Stuart Landau, Ziri Rideau, Kyle Martin, Steve Kaiser, Michael Novick, Margot Iser, and there have been others perhaps. It's a group effort, and it's going well, and funding will be started right away. Thank you.
Thank you. Much appreciated. Did you want to jump in on that, Stephanie, or I can go back to Bella?
Yes, when I'm, you know, asked to be on the air, or one of the general managers or program director tells me to go ahead and get on the air, they, you know, I'm more than happy to jump on and do that. I've been on the air a couple of times with Michael. He's very good about bringing me on with that, as is Sandy Weinman, the interim general manager at KPFT. And I have been on the air giving a report at WPFW quite a few times as well.
Okay, thank you very much. Bella, this will be it for you. 60 seconds, go right. Let me unmute you here. Okay, go ahead.
I got it. I am muted myself.
Working?
Yeah. Thank
you.
Go ahead. I want to make sure that I say this, because Stephanie Wells had a meeting with Michael Novick, with the programmers, a month or so ago, and the figure that she gave out was 5,400,000 or somewhere thereabouts. So the building is being given under market value. It's being sold under market value. I've repeated this many times. And then on top of that, there is absolutely no guarantee that we will have the full adequate distribution to cover all of KPFK's needs. Never mind that the station is being sold on behalf of some people, some groups at the PMB, right, that represent a certain interest. So the station is being sacrificed
10 seconds.
To serve the need of the entire foundation. So this is a sacrilege. This is a...
Okay. Thank you, Bell. I think we got it. We appreciate it. That was your third comment. Thank you very much. Stephanie, Stephanie, do you want to respond? Rachel, I know you want to say something, so.
No, there really wasn't a question there, so no.
Okay. Rachel Brunke, you want to jump?
Well, I felt in a way that there was a question, Stephanie, because in being new, I haven't heard like your response. I just heard the concern that it's being sold under market value. Could you just, you know, what, why?
Yes, it has been listed for over a year at the value that it was appraised at, which was $4.9 million. We had no one come in at the full value price. We had other groups come in that wanted to purchase the building from as low as $3.2 million up to, I think the highest was $4.3 or $4.5 million. The majority, well, all of those other buyers backed out for various reasons. One had some financing issues and a couple of others. Once they did a tour of the building and they realized the amount of work that was going to be needed to put into the building to get it up to the standards that they were seeking, and ADA compliant, electrical, plumbing, all of that, they did not have the financing or didn't want to put in another $2 to $3 million to fix that. The building, no offers came. You know, if the building was valued at a higher dollar amount, you know, it's surprising that then there wasn't multiple people and multiple groups that jumped in to buy a building. If people were saying it was worth $6, $7, $8 million, why it was on the market for well over a year with no, you know, not that many takers. The people that have ended up buying it, with the offer of giving us rent free for 10 years. That ended up being close to an equivalent of saving well over $3.2 million for KPFK during those 10 years and a savings of $2.5 million for the archives over the 2.5 years. There's also the ability where they were going to be raising close to $800,000 for the archive digitization and the paying of the PRA streaming website, which is another $35,000. So our total long-term value savings is about $6.5 million. Plus, if selling the building and not having that option of moving back in, we are looking at some temporary locations now for this next year to year and a half so we can have recording studios for people to use. We, at that point, if we weren't moving back into the building, we would be looking at having to rent a very small location for an unlimited number of years until we were able to be able to have some sort of large capital campaign to purchase another building. And again, it's not just KPFK, it's also the archives. So that would be, plus we need to have a capital campaign to focus on the repairs that need to be done on the tower. And so I would much rather focus our energy on having to do one capital campaign for the tower rather than two separate capital campaigns. So in looking at the long-term value of selling the building, getting it renovated, and then us being able to move back into a portion of that building rent-free for the next 10 years was made much more long-term financial sense, particularly since we didn't have any buyers that were coming in at the asking price.
Thank you. Very helpful.
Is that satisfactory? Pretty mind-boggling, Stephanie. Thank you for that. So we are through the half-hour period now for public comment. I thank you, Bella, and everybody else for your public comments. We appreciate it. I want to start calling now our members of the board. I'm going to start with Michael Novick because, Michael, you're in the gray area between public and a board member, and I'm sure you have a lot of information. So go ahead, Michael Novick, please.
Well, I just wanted to emphasize a couple of things. We are doing, as I said, three fundraising events in the next several weeks. January 20th, Frank Darla has been putting together an event at the Culver Palms United Methodist Church. That's at 1 p.m. with a panel of different peace activists. Talking about how we can have more impact in the struggle for peace in this coming election year and what role KPFK can play on that. The 27th, we're doing a second round rummage sale at the station. And on February 3rd, we have Gerald Horn. Dr. Gerald Horn will be speaking at a benefit for the station. We need volunteers for all three of those events. And if you can email me at gm@kpfk.org. And I will be on the air with a report to the listener on Tuesday, I think it's the 16th, a week from Tuesday at 3 p.m. And Stephanie is certainly welcome to join me at that time. And I'll be on the air that evening also in a Spanish language report to the listener. Thank you.
I said, Michael, I will volunteer. I'm going to volunteer Michael without asking her that we will do a fundraising event around Diablo Canyon. We'll do it in conjunction with the Mothers for Peace. And towards a solartopian vision of a green powered LA. I think we'd get a good turnout for that and we can promote it on our show. So if you'll contact me and Myla, we will talk to you about doing a public fundraising event around the shutdown of those ridiculous nuclear plants and the need to completely solarize, Los Angeles and California in general. How's that? Myla, you're shaking your head in agreement. That we good with that? Okay, so please we'll
yeah,
be
and we'll be raising money for KPFK.
Right, but we'll promote the event on our show and we will do our best to use it to raise money. Okay? Thank you for that. Okay, we're going to go to members. I believe that Mike Bressler had his hand up first and then Rachel, Oscar, and I don't see anybody else. But there will be, I'm sure. Mike Bressler, go ahead. We got to unmute you. Speaking of which, Mike Bressler is a big deal in the local Sierra Club, and we will be doing stuff with him as well. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, okay. Yeah, I just had a couple of questions, one for Stephanie and one for Andrew. For Stephanie, I just wanted to check. You know, I understand the situation with the building being in escrow, keeping everything in suspense. I wanted to ask, and maybe this has been answered, but I didn't hear it, if there is any time frame in terms of getting information, you know, out there, with regard to, the sale and the plans for the, you know, the, how the funds are going to be used. I think that would be helpful. And, you know, so if there is any time frame on getting the information out. And for Andrew, a simple question. You know, I was interested in this, underwriting, and I think our group may be interested in it, but I wanted to also ask if there's, any distinction between privately owned companies and, you know, non-profit organizations in terms of how they're dealt with by underwriting.
Okay, Stephanie, please.
I don't know if there's like a time frame per se in terms of getting information out. I mean, I've said in many of the open sessions and the PMB meetings, as well as any sort of report to listeners, even across the country or in other committee meetings that I've been at, an open session is that the building is in escrow, and escrow is looked to end in early to mid February. Okay. So, you know, and the plans with the funds, you know, said as well, will be used to make sure that there are expenses that are covered for both the archives and KPFK in terms of now incurring rent and also storage. We also need to keep in mind that we're moving back into the building. So we want to make sure that, you know, that's going to be a cost affected, you know, there's going to be costs associated with that as well. So, you know, do we set aside some funds from the sale to make sure that we have something set when we move in? Do we have another fund drive that's focused on just moving back into the building and any other sort of new equipment that we may need to buy when we move back into the building? And then money will also be used to get caught up, with our past due interest payments on the two loans that the foundation has, and to also get caught up on some of our past due vendors.
Yeah, I understand the general goals. I'm just wondering about, you know, the more specifics. And if you're saying like escrow ends in mid-February, will the specifics, will we be like transparent on this after that period of time, or say by March? Just trying to get a, you know, grip on the specifics when they'll be available.
Yeah, a lot of it will be available as to when we're actually determining who and what we're paying. You know what I mean, we have $1.4 million in past due vendors, and I can't in an open session determine and start laying out who are we going to pay and who are we not going to pay, or how much are we going to pay all of the vendors? You know, what is that percentage? What vendors are we currently working with that are willing to take, you know, a portion of the dollar to the amount of money that we owe them? How many are we working on payment plans with? You know, so these are just kind of decisions that from the safety standpoint and respect for the vendors of whom we owe money to, that those are things that I need to determine and figure out and discuss with that vendor rather than bringing that out in an open session. You know, it's like if you personally owe money to somebody at your house and you're saying, you know, I'm going to pay you, but I'm not going to pay you. Sorry. You know, what is making that determination? So I don't want to disrespect any of the individuals that we owe money to, nor do I want to, you know, hurt any sort of bargaining and negotiations that we're doing right now with the vendors.
Okay. Thank you.
And Michael, I want to offer you the opportunity to work with us through the Sierra Club to maybe jointly sponsor the fundraiser that we do to oppose Diablo Canyon. I think it would be a great thing to have the Sierra be a part of it, so we can talk about that further if you're game.
Yeah.
Okay, Rachel.
With regard, I had a question for Andrew also that I asked if he's.
Andrew, you with us here?
Yes, I'm on, Harvey. I can answer that quickly.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to say quickly, I think the sale of the building is the best thing for KPFK and the network, okay. And Stephanie's being upfront about everything. Regarding underwriting, we haven't made any distinction between nonprofit organizations or for-profit businesses, but I think it's a great suggestion. We've discussed possibly giving a special rate for nonprofits. I think we ought to consider that. So we'll bring that up at our next meeting. Our meetings are every Monday, 8 to 9 p.m. I also want to say we're also offering a special rate for businesses, organizations that don't have all the funds or don't want to pay for the on-air announcement, which starts at $800 for twice a week. If they just want to be listed on the website, which all underwriters will be listed, we're going to have a special rate. It'll be about $50 or $100 per month where they can have the same information listed on a dedicated page on our website. So stay tuned for that as well. Thank you, Harvey.
Great. Thank you. Thank you both. Thank you, Michael, for that. You good, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay. Rachel, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. Yeah. So I think maybe this would be a different kind of a meeting or something, but, I think part of the issue is when, and Stephanie, I think you're doing a great job. I'm understanding everything you're saying and you seem very upfront. Some of the issue I think is people don't understand, you know, maybe it seems like you're just in control of everything and you're the ED and there's a national board and we're here helping to elect our members to the national board. So, and everyone's voting, I would, you know, suggest that people take that into account, you know, that we make sure that, you know, people, that KPFK has a real strong voice, to the national, to help you and to provide, this local, support. And accountability, Stephanie. But so just one more word about underwriting, right on, Andrew, is that you said, Stephanie, Houston's paying its bills to the national and we've got to all pay our bills. So we all have insurance and healthcare, you know, whoever's staff and everything. And Houston, I have heard, is the strongest in the underwriting. They're leaders in what they're doing. So I see a direct correlation between the power of underwriting and being able to pay our bills. So I think we can, with that, kind of take a breath and know we're moving forward. That's number one. The other thing was addressed about the price, sale price of the building. And just the last thing, and maybe you can address this, Stephanie, if this makes sense to people. You know, in someone's personal fight, and it'll be real quick, in someone's personal finances, because when you mentioned what it's going to, I got depressed. It's going to banks, interest and taxes and legal and audit. It's just, it's depressing for people with our politics to know that our building's being sold to go to a bank for interest. Has to be done, but the reality is, so in personal finance, when you have to pay these bills, there's always a chunk. It's like a spiritual chunk that's left to the side just for joy. And I would ask you and if we haven't considered it, that you consider it, what's that chunk that's left to the side, whatever size, it doesn't matter. That's for joy. That's for celebration. That's for renewal. It could be a party. It could be a painting, you know, whatever. I think if you understand me, could you address that if that makes sense?
Stephanie?
Yes, it does. One thing is anything with the finances is, all of the, you know, the temporary budget and the draft budget is how things are going to be spent and the list of the vendors that we owe money to and all of our aged payables is shared on a regular basis in my monthly report to the finance committee and also to the PMB meetings. I mean, and not even a monthly report, a meeting report every meeting. So the list of all those vendors, people are concerned that nobody's seeing it or I'm making those decisions. I'm not. Anytime that we have any sort of outpouring or spending of money, we unfortunately haven't had the money to spend to pay off all these people. Everything goes through either the National Finance Committee or the PNB. And the same will be true of the money that will be the draft of what will be spent on the sale of the building and the proceeds. All of that will be through the approval of the National Finance Committee and or the approval of the PNB. So this isn't something that I'm just randomly making these decisions, but rather than having those expenses and determine how things could be spent, to a group of the PMB trying to create that draft budget. It's my responsibility to create that draft and then present it to them. And even in the budget that has been presented to them over the last quite a few months on how expenditures would be, there's multiple plans in that. There's the actual expenses that we have of amounts that are due. Then we have a plan A, a plan B, a column C. So we have different options on what can be spent. Underwriting is working for KPFT. That is a direct correlation between what is working for them. They have a perfect example of a program that is geared toward a prison system, and it's not made to make money from our listeners, but they were able to reach out to a nonprofit organization that supports previously incarcerated individuals once they're released. And that nonprofit was able to support that program for 2 years of funding. So that's kind of the things that we want to look out for when we're looking at underwriting and programs, that we're not going to be cutting out programs just because they don't raise money. We just have to think outside of the box to make sure that we have the support that they need to continue to support the communities that they're listening to. The one thing that is a positive is that the loan that we have, the FJC loan, is not through a bank. FJC is a nonprofit organization, and the money that was given to us originally for that was from an individual donor who gave the money to FJC, who their job is to then give money to nonprofits that need help. So it is a plus is that we are not paying that interest to a bank, but it is going back to pay this nonprofit that supports other nonprofits. And our default interest was 18%, and all of that is being removed. We are no longer in that default, and even the money that we're still in default, but the money that we owed, even based upon that 18% default, because we have presented them with the plan of what we want to do moving forward, which includes getting caught up with some of our vendors, having positive conversations with the vendors that we owe money to, creating, working better with our database so we can have outreach and cultivation and prospecting and stewardship of all of our donors. That has allowed them to allow us to move forward in not having to pay off the principal altogether, which is what originally was going to have to happen. And the interest payments at 18% are being reduced back to the original interest, which is, I think, still pretty high, but I think it was 8 to 12%. So that will be a deduction in the amount that we owe. And then as far as a chunk, you know, kind of set to the side is that, you know, I do have in mind of what I want to do. Again, it's going to have to be approved by the PNB, is providing stipends to people that have been at KPFK that have been working through a lot of these issues and a lot of these concerns, bringing back the app that we no longer have, working to rebuild the website, working to provide the training that is necessary for our programmer so that they feel that they are supported within KPFK, and also working with the archives again to make sure that we are doing what we need to do to help build that, because part of this is to make sure that we use this time to rebuild KPFK and rebuild the archives. So when we move back into that building, you know, I see a great, wonderful celebration that day that ribbon is being cut and we're walking through those doors. And so we have that year and a half to be able to really build up the station and build up our audience and turn it back into this community radio station. So, you know, I don't want the money to just disappear completely to bills, which is hence why I'm trying to negotiate with a lot of the vendors to see how much we can make in payments or how much they can forgive us for the dollar amounts. And we've had, again, quite a few vendors that have provided a lot of forgiveness for what we owe them.
We love forgiving our creditors. That's a great asset. Oscar, and then Jan Goodman.
Good morning. Good evening, Ms. Wells. One of the main issues on this, on the whole thing regarding the sale of the building is being transparency and trust. On the past, Romesh, sale that we had at KPFK, the general consensus was, either from not knowing what was going on, to surprise, to anger, because, considering that universe of people who should be aware of what all the deal is regarding KPFK. There are people who are even at this point aware that that the building is being sold. Now that the whole process pretty much is almost finished, it will not make any difference. But there is a general consensus, and I'm wondering if at some point PNB or yourself consider at least to put the word out that there was the part or to the result of the general financial situation of the foundation or this was one of this will be one of the hardest hits that we're gonna take as a public broadcasting corporation to let especially the main people, the people who support us, the people who provide with the funds to our operations. Nobody was, a lot of people, or almost say almost the universe of the people, were not aware of the conditions and that these steps were being taken. I'm wondering if at some point either PNB or yourself consider the fact to let the public know, the people who are, we are stories of our listenership and our contributors and our supporters, that this was, even though a really, really hard step to take, that he was done in a transparent manner. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Stephanie?
Yeah, I mean, I really am not too sure how to get word out that often to everybody because the sale of the building was first discussed in August, September of 2022, I believe, and then it was listed for sale and voted on, I believe, in January or, you know, November of 2023 with being listed in January of 20, or I'm off with my years, but yeah, so I mean, we obviously need to get a better way to get word out, but discussions about the sale of the building, the use of the funds, the amount of money that we owe, the financial situation has been in all of our audited financial statements, our tax statements that are all on pacifica.org. They're shared in open sessions. The numbers of what we owe and how much is in the banks is listed in the reports, and given to the directors on the PNB, the finance committee. I give reports to LSBs when they request it. They'll get a written report as well. So yeah, so I'm not too sure the best way that we can start getting information out to people, when we're getting it out through meetings and representatives in these meetings. So, I'll figure out a better way to get things on the website probably.
Okay. Thank you, Oscar. Thank you, Stephanie. Jan Goodman had a hand, but she's disappeared here. Michael, is that a legacy hand or did you have more to ask? Michael Bressler?
Oh yeah, it's legacy.
Okay. Does anyone else, have anything they want to say? Myla, go ahead.
Yeah. It's
like... and Harvey, I would like to say something if you have a chance.
Who's that? John from... John. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So, can I just, ask
Steph? I'm here.
Yeah, just a second.
Yeah.
Just let me just ask quickly. I had heard earlier, you and Stephanie, you and I believe Kim also said something about KPFA not having paid central services, and if I recall correctly, during the last meeting and of the Pacifica National Board and at other meetings, representatives from KPFA have been talking about how there was about $300,000 in a bank account for KPFA that was, I don't know, their rainy day fund or whatever, that was taken in order to by a creditor, I believe, and that there were people from KPFA who were saying that that taking of that resource, that amount of money from a KPFA bank account, has actually, is now being considered as covering past due payments for central services. Was that clear? And is that, I think that James Saugerton, if he's still with us, and he is. So maybe James can, who is the chair of the National Finance Committee, might tell me if I recalled correctly, or if perhaps he could clarify the tension between the payments for central services from KPFA and the taking of monies from KPFA bank accounts.
Can I jump in here real quickly? Sorry, this is extraneous to this particular question, but Anna Alicia says that she was here as a representative of the CAB to give the report to the LSB, but has to leave, and so she submitted a written report from the CAB to Myla, and so we'll have to have that at our February 4th meeting. Thank you, Anna Alicia, for that note. And sorry to interrupt there, but go ahead, please, Stephanie, with what Myla has asked.
Yeah, I can just make a James can speak if he would like to, obviously, but I just wanted to make a couple of corrections before he started. The funds that were taken were not by a creditor, but was by the U.S. Marshal's Office based upon the loss of a lawsuit that Pacifica incurred. The funds were also not in sort of a hidden account or anything, as there were some words going in the chat about that, but it was a restricted grant that was controlled by the San Francisco Community Foundation that was given to KPFA. So there were funds, again, that were restricted grant account that were to be used just for the purposes as outlined by the San Francisco Community Foundation. And then the U.S. Marshal's Office, based upon the loss of this lawsuit, went in and went to any account that happened to have money and take it. So that often happens. It happened a few years ago where money was owed to the IRS and they went to every single bank account that we had and it was 92 or some odd thousand dollars and the IRS ended up taking $92,000 from three separate bank accounts because they just go in, the banks don't question it. They just get a paperwork that says you need to give money. So then we needed to work with the IRS to get those funds returned to those other accounts. So because it was $305,000, KPFA then stopped paying central services. Since the money was seized, the amount right now that KPFA has not paid in central services is totaled close to $396,000. So rather than having to use money from the proceeds of the sale of the building to pay back that $305,000 that was seized by the U.S. Marshal's Office, it will be determined that the money that they haven't paid in central services, which is totaled well above the $305,000 that was seized, will be used to offset that. So we will not have to pay back that $305,000.
All right. Thank you very much for that. Very interesting. Jan Goodman, you are back.
Chair, was I going to get an opportunity to speak to that?
Jan, do you want to defer to James and then you were next in line?
Well, no, Harvey. I had asked James to answer that question because he's the chair of the National Finance Committee.
All right. Jan, are you okay? Go ahead, James, please. And then we'll go to James.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. I want to agree with everything that Stephanie just said. One of the problems that we have in Pacifica is that when we have amounts incurred by one unit or another, in lieu of repayment, they say, well, we're just going to deduct that money from central services. This is something that Stephanie herself has spoken about on many occasions. And she says, well, then our system becomes one of sort of monopoly money or paper money, fake paper money, because when we defer central services to pay for debts such as the two that Stephanie mentioned, or interdivisional or interunit loans that get made back and forth, then the national office gets starved for funds. And as was pointed out, the national office provides insurance, liability insurance for our buildings, all the different insurances that we need as a network, legal expenses, expenses for FCC and other matters. So we have that now we have a deficit in terms of the national office, and then we can't function. You know, we need to keep the national office afloat so that the network can proceed as a unit and stay above water. So I agree with everything Stephanie said. It's just that we would like to try not to stop paying central services from units which can, in order to make up for deficits in this case, the marshals just found one account. It was unfortunately one of the few accounts, the only account we had at the time that had that kind of money in it. And so they just latched onto it and took it from there.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for that. Sounds like a drug raid, for God's sakes. All right. Dan Goodman, we are earnestly and excitedly awaiting your comments. Your hand has been up. Thank you very much for that, James. Appreciate that much. And Stephanie, I've heard rumors for that about that 300 grand for a long time. I'm glad to hear what finally happened, although I'm not glad for the substance. Go ahead, Jan Goodman, please. Jan? Trying to unmute you here.
Okay, I can unmute.
Okay, you're good.
Okay, so I have a couple of questions, I'll just ask all of them, and then Stephanie, hopefully you can remember them all and answer them. One is, how much is owed respectively to FJC and EIDL, if you can discuss that in open session? The second one is, what are the standards, if any, that organizations or individuals or whatever have to be in sync with our mission statement before we accept underwriting from them, if that is a consideration? And is our mission statement kind of equivalent to what you say in your draft statement about a community radio standards? Is that code word for mission statement, or how does that work into that? And lastly, is the underwriting fundraising group, which Andrew Weissman talked about that he's involved with, that's, you know, like going forward with this underwriting, are you involved with that? Is that the same? Are they using the same standards and everything that you're putting together, or is that different? I'd like to know how that is working out, or if what the situation is with regard to that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jan. Stephanie?
Yeah, the standards for any of the organization, one of the things that answers a lot of these questions is really the motion that was passed by the PNB regarding underwriting. It's very detailed with groups and organizations that we're looking to, or ones that would not fall into the category of who we would receive support from. So there are standards that they are to be in sync with our mission statement, and in addition to the statement and the motion that the PNB passed. As far as the basic community radio standards, I have used that to cover not only our mission statement, but also the FCC regulations in regard to underwriting, because they're pretty darn clear too as to what can and cannot be done as far as underwriting. The KPFK underwriting group was started by Andrew and Michael, and they are working. So there is a group that is focused on underwriting at KPFK, but they are following the same guidelines that are presented by the motion that was supported by the PNB, FCC guidelines, and also talking with the other stations that are doing underwriting successfully, such as WBAI and KPFT. So it isn't going to be that each group or each division is working on their own underwriting policy, and it all has to be something that is the foundation, because people are technically writing their sponsorship dollars and giving their dollars to the Pacifica Foundation, because we are one 501c3, but they just happen to be underwriting something at this station or that station. We've also been talking to some of these underwriters, and underwriters have contacted us with the possibility of wanting to sponsor a nationwide program, or sponsor something with the affiliate network, or sponsor just an archival program. So we're looking to try to branch out with the underwriting, not just on a local level, but also giving companies the opportunity that they can now get word out about their organization nationwide. As far as what is owed to the FJC, we have, let me pull that up. We have an unpaid, this was a little bit older. The loan of the FDIC loan is $548,821. The amount of total payoff for the SBA loan is $2,079,400. And again, this isn't information that is, you know, secret or confidential. It has been reported at open session with the PNB meetings, and it is included in the reports that are given to the National Finance Committee and also to the PNB.
Dan?
So does that mean that the FJC loan is the total amount still owed to them is only $548,000?
We have unpaid interest, which we're again right now negotiating what that unpaid interest is. When we technically went into default, we had an unpaid interest of roughly $250,000.
What's the principal that's unpaid?
The loan principal, the total amount of the loan principal is $2,548,821.
Ah, that was the number. Okay, so it's $2,548,000 plus about $550,000.
In interest, correct.
That's maybe negotiable.
Correct.
Oh, great. Okay.
And so what we will be doing is the plan, if it, you know, all goes as planned, or the draft budget of how the expenditures will be made, and in continued conversations with FJC, is that we will pay off the past due principal minus the amount of default interest. So our legal counsel is talking with them and have been negotiating with that for quite some time. So that would lessen the amount. So I don't have the exact amount that is due in unpaid interest because we're still under negotiations with that. And we would set aside in a restricted escrow account the interest payments for at least 1 year so we can make sure that we're not in default and that we don't have to technically worry about that while we're in this process of transitioning and rebuilding, you know, getting the building ready, working on our programming, working on our archival material, trying to get things digitized, trying to get our, you know, off the ground with a better underwriting program that's across the network, trying to get programming to the point that we can get nationwide programming, you know, at all the stations. So that's what we're kind of looking at. And I don't want to have to worry about interest payments to these loans. I'd rather just set that aside in an account, know that it's there, and pay it when we need to.
Great.
Just give us a little bit of breathing room for 15 months.
Great. Thank you.
Dan, is there more?
No, I think she covered everything.
Okay. And thank you for your earlier clarification on the bylaws. That was appreciated as well. John Crumshaw, you apparently asked to speak. And I cannot see your hand, so I'm guessing through ESP that you want to say something.
Yes, amazing ESP. What I wanted to say is that the 20 years or so that I've been involved with KPFK, underwriting has always been an issue. And my concern is the slippery slope. Greg Pallas talks about NPR as National Petroleum Radio and starts out very nice, very good things that are supportive of the station, and then all of a sudden starts morphing into something that ends up being a complete takeover and self-censorship so that certain issues are not covered or not covered in depth or not given the proper balance that KPFK would. So that's my concern, and I would appreciate it, Stephanie, if you could address the dilemma of not becoming National Petroleum Radio.
That's why we have groups like LSBs. That's why we have groups like CABS. That's why Andrew is asking for volunteers to work on this underwriting committee. So we don't have one or two people that are making these decisions, but we have committees that are discussing what groups, what rules we follow, what policies we put into place. I don't want one person just going to a company or a general manager or a program director at any of the stations having the complete and final say as to who's sponsoring something. We have turned down some major businesses already at KPFT because they, you know, there were problems and issues with how they were dealing with their employees and their unions. And it was
could
a nationwide
a list,
sponsorship.
Could we get a list of those programs that, or those, possible, turndowns? At least we could see where we are.
Yes, well, at KPFT, they turned down funding from Trader Joe's.
Wow.
You know, so this is why we have to have, and we've had these discussions in the, I don't remember what committee it was, because sometimes topics cross over. It could have been the Development Task Force. It could have been the Strategic Planning Committee. It could have been the Programming Committee. It could have been the Finance Committee. And it could have been discussed in all of those. I don't remember off the top of my head. But we have talked about having to have some sort of a group that is, that can sit and work and discuss and determine whether we will accept funding from this organization as a sponsor or not. With some of the local small businesses, you know, it's KPFT, they've had a lot of local, again, small nonprofits that they're partnering with to do things. I know that Michael is doing that as well with a coat drive. I believe I saw an email coming through where he's partnering with another nonprofit organization so we can become somebody that's supporting the community, not just always asking the community to support us. And I know at WBAI, they've also had some discussions when there was a possibility of accepting some funding, I believe, from the New York Police Department. And there was, can be corrected if I'm wrong, if anybody knows the answer, but they ended up saying no to them as well because it was just a little bit too much controversy. There was just a little bit of a gray area with that. So this is why we need to have volunteers, and we need to have people that support Andrew and the committee with this, because normally in a foundation, there's an entire department that's focusing on underwriting and sponsorships. We don't have that. We don't have the funds to have an underwriting department. We don't have the ability to, hire people that can work at each department. We don't even have, paid program directors or development people. So we really do need to rely on, open-minded, ability to have a debate to discuss some of these sponsorships that may have a bit of a gray area, and then being able to create the lines to say, no, this is where the line, and no, we will not accept funding from them.
Very interesting. Very interesting. John, did you want to say something further on that?
I was just going to say that as long as that holds and that system works in 5, 10, 15 years from now, great.
Wonderful. Okay, listen, we're over 4 hours.
This is Andrew Weiss. Harvey? Can I respond about underwriting to those last two questions from Jan and John?
Can you do it in 60 seconds, please?
Yes.
We have Laura, we have Tatanka. I think Oscar may want to speak again. Anybody else who wants to speak, please now raise your hand, because we're over 4 hours, and I do want to see if we can call it, say, by 2:50. So, and I'm sure that Stephanie would like to have a life here. Go ahead, Andrew, and then we'll go Laura, Tatanka, and Oscar if you want to speak more. And again, raise your hand now if you want to get in, because we're going to go to sleep. Go ahead, Andrew, please.
All right. I think an oversight committee at the national level for underwriting would be a good thing. We've taken about 5 months. We've been very careful about this whole process, and we've taken that into consideration about the dangers, the slippery slope, and we're keeping that in mind and being very, very careful. I invite anyone on the LSB. I will send the access information to our weekly meetings. Anybody on the LSB can attend, including Kim Kaufman from the Finance Committee. Please do join us. I want to read about our contract for underwriters that we just approved last week. I think we'll address a lot of these issues. Quote, and we are sharing all of our systems with other stations to make this network wide, to strengthen our whole network, not just for KPFK, but for the whole network, all stations. Now here, from the contract, quote, as a basic matter of policy, KPFK will only accept financial support from entities whose business practices align with our mission statement and programming. For example, agreements shall only be entered into with entities that support labor rights, respect the environment, support renewable energy, engage in ethical financial practices, support peace, peace and understanding between nations, respect our personal privacy, support racial and sexual equality, support the rights of women to control their own bodies, support the rights of the LGBTQ community for equality, and support respect for all immigrants. An underwriter may not dictate or attempt to influence the content of any program on KPFK or the station's programming in any way whatsoever. So that is directly from the PMB. That is directly from the PMB authorization, and we.
Okay, if you'll put that in the chat, that would be great. Thank you, Andrew. We appreciate that, John. Thank you for your question. Let's go to Laura Tatanka. Oscar, I don't know if you've got a legacy hand there or not. Laura Levison, go ahead, and then Tatanka Bricka.
Okay, thank you. I'm confused about one thing about the underwriting. Can't be sure if someone said or implied that an underwriter can pick which program their advertisement gets aired on. And if they can pick the program, doesn't that constitute influencing our programming?
That's an interesting question. Do you want to address that question? I don't think we're going
to
find it.
This is Michael Lovick. I just put an answer to that in the chat. We have an extremely eclectic audience and a fairly eclectic programming and a fairly small audience. And, if bookstores are likely to want to advertise on programs that have a literary focus, restaurants will probably want to advertise, I shouldn't say advertise, underwrite programming that, would appeal to audiences of Spanish language programmers are going to probably solicit support from Spanish speaking businesses and so on and so forth. Music venues are likely to want to put underwriting on music shows. So it's not about the content. It's made very clear in the contract there's no control over the content. And we don't gauge shows now currently on, how much support they get. The shows are based on community needs, right, and interests.
And we will certainly welcome solar panel installers to advertise on the California Solartopia show. Be totally up for that. Thank you for that. Laura, very good question. Thank you so much. Tatanka Bricka.
Just very quick question. Does all our banking go through the large national international banks, or do we have any community banks involved with Pacifica or any of the other local stations?
Stephanie?
Everything is going through a large bank. We had a local bank in Washington, D.C., and then the local bank was bought out by a major bank. The same thing, KPFA right now has a smaller local bank, but everything is being moved to one bank.
Thank you.
Multiple accounts, but one bank.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Oscar, is that a residual hand, or did you want to say something further? Oscar Ulloa?
It's Ulloa.
Ulloa. Oscar? I can't get you unmuted. Okay.
Okay, Harvey, I'd like to move to adjourn.
Well, wait, I'm trying to see if Oscar actually wants to say something. I guess I can't get you, Oscar. If you'll come back on February 4th, we will do that. There's a motion to adjourn.
This is Kim.
Go ahead, Kim.
Can you hear me? I want to say one thing. A number of years ago, for people who are concerned about us using major national banks, probably 10 years ago, I researched credit unions as a possibility, and they do not provide the services that we need. So really the best solution for our multi-state organization that provides all the services we need is a national bank. That's it. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you for that, Kim. Myla, we will entertain your motion to adjourn. Is there a second? Does anybody want to second the motion to adjourn?
Second. I second.
That's Avelia. The motion to adjourn was put in by Myra, was seconded by Avelia. Is there objection to adjourning? Okay, you guys, this is a record for me. I never had a meeting go more than 2.5 hours. Thank you, everybody. Everybody, This was one of the few meetings I ever remember where there were no.
Good job.
And so, Paul, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
So what time is it that we're adjourning, Harvey?
Oh, it is 2:45 Pacific time. Oh. We're adjourning 4 hours and 15 minutes or something. I think that's what it was. Thank you, everybody. I just want to say go blue, go solar, and you will have a new chair in February. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Harvey, for your service. Thank you all. Good meeting.
Thank you,
Harvey. Thank you, everyone.
Glad we could participate. Hope we can meet in person soon.
Thanks, everybody.
Still want to know if someone has a co-nuke. Yeah, send it to me.
Let's get out there for Gaza.